Gerald Celente, and it's Trends This Week. And I wasn't here last week. I went to Denmark for about the past 8 days. A friend of mine is getting got married, so I went there for the wedding. And I'd never been to Denmark before. I've been to a lot of places. And it's a very lovely place, highly sophisticated. And as a trend forecaster, I try to be an observer everywhere I go, and without being critical, just observing rather than making judgment. And one of the first things that hit me was the laughter that I heard, whether I was in my hotel room with the window open and hearing people walking outside and laughing, or going to a bar and hearing people laughing, or being on the train, Sunday afternoon, and hearing people laughing, and drinking a couple of beers, and not loud, not like the Americans that you can pick from a mile away, you could hear them. And very sophisticated society. Beautiful. I came back to Colonial Kingston here in this lovely town, and I was very sad realizing how beautiful it could be, but how the people here don't do more to make it beautiful. And I do. If you go to our website, trendsresearch.com, and you see one of the buildings we have, the Mohegan. It was an old market. There were several of them, I think 13. On the East Coast back in the late 1890s to the mid-1900s. And we have flowers and plants, and we take care of everything and make it look beautiful. And unfortunately, that's not the emotion here by many people that live here and in a lot of places. So, because, as you well know, with Trends This Week, you know, I talk about a lot of ugly things going on around the world by the sociopaths and psychopaths in charge. And to me, art is the way of finding the true meaning of the human spirit. And balancing it with beauty and joy is very essential to me. So it's unfortunate that we don't have more of a focus on beauty and joy. And I guess beauty, joys, they probably became dirty words along with peace, because those are three words you don't hear in the presidential reality show or on the media. People just don't speak about it or care about it. And of course, in talking with a lot of people there, and they're very easy to talk to, everybody speaks English, all they do is talk about Donald Trump. They can't believe it. What's not to believe? And then I point out to them, look at Hillary Clinton. And I go over her war record. They say, yeah, you're right. Oh, we're going to miss Obama, they say. And then I go over Obama's record, and then they just shake their head. So when is America going to become a country that rises to a higher level of the human spirit? When will morality take place within the electoral process and in the day-to-day workings of every business and institution? Or, I guess the campaign slogan should have been under Obama, no hope and change to believe in. rather than hope and change you could believe in. Yeah, if you believe in that, you believe, you know, that any other fairy tale. So it's happening in other countries. The populist movement is real, and it's not a dirty word. They make it a dirty word, and as you saw what happened with the vote in Germany this past week, the AfD party, the Alternative for Deutschland party, beat out Angela Merkel's party. First time since World War II. They're calling these right-wing parties. They're not right-wing parties from what I observe. Right, I'm a trend forecaster. We never use labels. I shouldn't say never, but we try to avoid them at all costs. To use words like right-wing and left-wing is deceptive to the entire meaning of a movement or an issue. It's made simplistic by the prostitutes that sell us propaganda. And boy, is the New York Times selling propaganda. Woof. The anti-Russian propaganda coming out of that paper with no fact and a lot of innuendos and false opinions is astounding. So going back to the populist movement, it's not a right-wing movement. People in these small countries have a culture, and they want to maintain it. What right does any other country say, no, you have no right maintaining your culture? You should be globalized so the multinationals could run your life and make you like vanilla and white bread so you have no distinction. They want to keep their culture. And now that culture is being lost for two reasons. Primary reason number one, and by the way, when I talk about populism, go to your Trends Journal. Look at the summer edition. Read the headline. People power. That's the headline. And you could read some of it by going to our website, TrendsJournal.com, or of course trendsresearch.com. We see this trend building, it's growing, it's going to be very, very important. It's not going away. It's going to grow, but it's not growing in the United States. It can, of course, should we choose to make it happen, because it's happening in other countries. So if it could happen there, why can't it happen over here? Because when you look at the elections, most people are not satisfied with either candidate. And as we now know with the polls, they're virtually tied. And as we know with the polls, people don't trust either candidate very much. So when you read the Trends Journal about history before it happens, look at the cover. Again, go to trendsresearch.com. People power, the war for freedom. It's happening. These are not movements that are based on militarism. They're movements based upon their countries being overrun by refugees and migrants. And in none of the discussion, not in the States nor overseas, does anyone talk about, hey, I wonder why you have this refugee problem. I wonder why you have 5 million Syrian refugees. I wonder why you have millions of Iraqi and Afghanistan refugees. I wonder why you have hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of Libyan refugees. It is never, ever, 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 ever discussed in the media. That the murderous people by the name of Barack Obama, by Hillary Clinton, by George W. Bush and his father, by Tony Blair and David Cameron, by Sarkozy and Hollande and Merkel, by the Danes and by the Norwegians, by all these countries where the sociopaths and psychopaths of their military-industrial complex and the NATO military regime decided they should overthrow other nations and put in the dictators that they like best to continue to destroy their countries, never brought up. Wonder why we have the problems. Again, history before it happens, go back to your 2011 Trends Journal. We wrote about how Muammar Gaddafi had warned that when they overthrew him, or were going to, Europe would pray to have him back because of the migrant crisis. All those people flooding out of those poor, corrupt, dysfunctional nations spread throughout Africa, a nation, a continent colonized by the West, propped up with dictators after they fell to colonization and threw out the colonizers and have new corrupt parties running them. When Gaddafi was in office, he had made a deal with Europe, particularly Italy, that migrants wouldn't be flowing out from Libya into Europe. And now is Hillary Clinton the one that laughed? We came, we saw, he died when she heard that Gaddafi was dead. Destroyed the country. Now you have the migrants flooding out of Libya into Italy, into Greece. Migrants, refugees, a refugee crisis that we've never seen in the history of the world, part one or part two. So, of course, there's populism, and it's taken to radical levels of misunderstanding by those who seize upon it for their own gain, like a Donald Trump. I'm going to build a wall, and Mexico's going to pay for it. Yay! This may upset some people, but hey, you know the motto of the Trends Research Institute and the Trends Journal, think for yourself. I say close the borders. I say secure the homeland. I say go back and do what the United States did when the Great Depression hit. The nation couldn't take in any more people because they couldn't take care of their own. So what did they do? They restricted everyone from coming into the country until the country got back on its feet. It wasn't a racial issue. It was just an issue. And the issue is this. The nation was in a depression. The people living here had no jobs, many of them. Poverty was rising, and they couldn't afford to take care of others when they couldn't take care of their own. So that's what I'm in favor of. We're a nation of 320 million people. I mean, come on, you know, it's how many more are we going to take in? You know, when does it become too much? And I believe the too much point is already hit. 320 million people. So the population of the U.S. in the 1930s compared to now What was it? Go back and look at the whole world at the turn of the century. You had about 1.5 billion people on the planet. That's right. 1.5 billion people on the planet. And now we have 7.2 billion. You think you have a refugee and an immigrant crisis? So in 1930, the population of the United States was roughly 120 million people. 120 million people. Now we have 320 million people. You want to bring in more people into your house? Open the doors. Get another job and feed them. Give them a place to sleep. And take away from your family to do it. So, populism is a major trend. And here's something very significant to consider in the political scene. What word haven't you heard? You haven't heard much of the word conservative. Because conservatives are going to blend into populists. And that's what's going on around the world, in the Western world. It's not happening in the States. But you're going to start seeing a strong populist movement evolve, regardless of who wins the next election. Populism is popular. It's not a dirty word, as the media is making it out to be. Again, all things are connected. It's a numbers game. It's a jobs issue. Remember that Clinton 1992 campaign slogan from Slick Willie? It was in all the campaign offices around the country. Every time they would get off the beat, there was a sign up in all the campaign offices. It's the economy, stupid. It was the economy stupid back then, it's the economy stupid back now, and it's the economy around the world. And it stinks in a lot of places. And in America, it smells like rotten eggs when you're not one of the 1% or the top 10%. And again, 95% of the wealth created by that wonderful liberal progressive fraud, Barack Obama, 95% of the wealth went to the 1% since 2009. And it's the same case throughout much of Europe. You look at the numbers with the populists. This election in Germany last week is big news. And there are more coming up. Then in early October, there's going to be another election in Austria. And that populist is also winning. In Italy, they're going to have a referendum in November. It could be the beginning of them leaving the European Union if they vote against the referendum that is put in place by the government now. Populism is popular. It's not going anywhere. Other than growing stronger. The headline from the Wall Street Journal yesterday. This headline in yesterday's Wall Street Journal is a month and a half late from the Trends Journal. Populist vote jolt Europe. We had this in detail. What was going to happen, why it was going to happen. This is the front page story. Populist votes jolt Europe. For the first time in post-war history, Ms. Merkel's Christian Democrats finished behind the populist challenger, you ready? To their political right in a state election. Now, I've written a number of books, international bestsellers. I've been writing the Trends Journal since 1991. I would never write a phrase like that. Political right in a state election. They keep going on with that. 2 weeks after that, talking about a week from Sunday, another election in Germany. So 2 weeks after that, voters in Austria's second round presidential election could crown post-war Western Europe's first right-wing populist head of state. Right-wing populist head of state. And this is a person getting paid to write this. What childish stuff, right-wing. Go back again, all things are connected to the G20 meeting they just had in China. You know what the issue is, right? They're concerned about the populist movements. That's right. They, our world leaders, are concerned about the populist movement because since the panic of 08, the wealth has only gone to their friends. And it's rising up the tide of rebellion around the world. And they're concerned about it. Oh, and I love this thing. You know, again, I was in Denmark when the, I just got back yesterday, when the incident happened about Obama with the red carpet. Who made up this crap that you have to roll out a red carpet? This is America. I've had enough of this red carpet crap. And all these little boys and girls in their uniforms dressed up like little Boy Scouts that grew up a little more saluting. This is America. We're all equal. No, not anymore. We have a commander's in chief. They've raped the Constitution. They give the commander the power to wage war. Like bombs away right now over in Syria. Oh, you don't mind though, do you? No, after all, Congress didn't vote for it. El Presidente de los Estados Unidos with the red carpet, he said we're going to do it. Like Bush before him and Clinton before him and Bush before him. Democracy's dead in America. Red carpet. And they're complaining that the red carpet wasn't out for His Majesty of the Banana Republic of Los Estados Unidos. Red carpet. Imagine that. The red carpet symbol is very important to understand because that's how much better they are than we are. That all these little flunkies, in the media, making an issue of it. I'm watching the media from overseas and listening to this garbage spewing out of these prostitutes' mouths is disgusting. Where's the rebellion? Where's the courage of the people of the United States? Beauty, joy, and peace. Dirty words not allowed here. No, no, no. And then, you know, I was at this beautiful hotel, the Admiral Hotel in Copenhagen. And they had these ships coming in all the time. They had one, this Italian ship from about 1890s, a big sailing vessel, beautiful, black and gold. And then all of a sudden, they were doing NATO exercises out there. All these ships are coming in. And all these guys with their uniforms and women. What a joke. I've had it with this stuff. Hey, grow up. Could you people grow up? You're not protecting me. You're making the world less safe for civilization by invading other countries. Oh, and by the way, all your battleships, all your destroyers, all your aircraft carriers, they're as effective as horse and buggies. They're as effective as catapults going over the walls of forts. And castles. They're antiquated pieces of garbage that are costing us trillions of dollars to build, and they're not worth anything in the next war. Capisce? The year 2000. I was called in by Virginia Military Institute, VMI. As a keynote speaker on New Millennium Warfare. Matter of fact, I had lunch with General Anthony Zinni, who just the day before was on all of the media in front of a Senate committee, because he's the guy that opened up the port of Aden in Yemen and allowed the ships to go in there for refueling, and the USS Cole got blown up there. So when I'm speaking about New Millennium Warfare, I know a little bit about it, and I've been writing about it for years. It's been in the Trends Journal and in my books. There's a saying that generals are always fighting the last war. And indeed they are. So here I'm watching all of these ships, these antiquated pieces of amphibious garbage that they keep after they run their course, cut them up, and sell them for scrap metal. Along with all the other trillions of countless trillions of dollars, such as the U.S. Army lost track of the $6.5 trillion. That they make these weapons that become obsolete. The whole naval system isn't worth anything other than stealing our money to give it to their buddies, these low-life politicians. And we need another name for politicians. Again, I think slime balls is appropriate. I have to be politically correct. And there's nothing correct about anything political. Who keep passing these defense budgets so that the shipyards and military contractors that give them the money to run for office continue to pay them off. Oh, they call it campaign contributions rather than appropriately calling them bribes and payoffs. The naval system is obsolete. In New Millennium Warfare, phew, out of the sky in a flash that you never saw, there goes the USS this and the USS that. That's right. Who's going to attack us? What do we need these ships for? The only reason we need the military-industrial complex is to destroy humanity and to feed the sick egos. Of the sociopaths and psychopaths that take you to war. So that was something I saw in Copenhagen that made me think a lot about it. Because everybody was bragging about the new destroyer that they just brought in. That Denmark's latest ship. What an ugly piece of crap. Again, These things are sitting ducks, literally, in the pond of the oceans around the world in an age of new millennium warfare. I mean, some kid with a drone can knock out one of these in the years ahead, let alone the high sophisticated weaponry and high technology yet to be born, being born, that are going to make these pieces of garbage obsolete. The Army made headlines in mid-August 2016 when the Defense Department Inspector General report landed with a heavy thud. The 75-page report detailed all the ways the Army messed up its accounting of the general fund in 2015. According to the report, Army bookkeepers messed up the budget to the tune of $6.5 trillion. Yep. This is a piece by Matthew Gault, J-A-U-L-T. And then, of course, as I said, you come back home after leaving a sophisticated country and looking at our rotted infrastructure, taking a train there and getting on the subway in the city, or Amtrak, crap track, Amtrak, garbage track, stupid track, moron track, antiquated track. We got wars to fight. We got ices to melt. We got stupid people telling us what to do, and the people don't have the courage to rise up. They believe Bernie BS. Hey, remember Bernie came out? I was way, I read about it. Yeah, with his new revolution there. And all that he talked about was nothing, and not a word about foreign policy. Nothing. In the entire platform of the BS Bernie revolution, nothing. Nothing. Not a peep. So, putting it all back all together, the G20 meeting was very significant. Nah, not because of the red carpet. It's because America is losing its stature in the world, and the world is on the brink, we believe, of the panic of 08. You could feel it in the air. You can see it in the facts. You can watch it on the street. It's only getting worse. There is no recovery. It's a cover-up. And remember, when all else fails, they take you to war. And here the United States, I shouldn't say the United States, Los Estados Unidos, the banana republic, north of the border, is back at war. And not a peep from those Woodstock liberals. Hey, you're only about 15 minutes from me. Can you hear me? They disgust me. What hypocrites the liberals are. If Bush was doing what Obama was doing, all these quiche-eating liberals with their balsamic smiles would have frowns on their faces. Oh, look at that, Bush. Isn't that disgusting? Let's go out and march. Let's do nothing. When our Obama does it. Obama is Olaya. That's who he should be named. Olaya in chief. Obama. OBS, sir. Turkey and U.S. ready to hit ISIS capital. Headline of the BBC. Turkish President Erdogan suggests he and the United States are ready to drive the Islamic State from its Syrian stronghold in Raqqa. Oh, yeah? This headline should read, United States and Turkey invade Syria. Can anybody handle that? America's invaded a foreign country. But that's foreign to most people. But hey, you liberals, just push it out of your mind. Don't even talk about it. Don't let it upset you. No, because you are a liar just like Obama, because you won't admit you're a coward. You're disgusting human beings with bad attitudes that keep pushing out your agenda of lies and zero action. Oh, you Woodstock liberals. What a joke. Not a peep about the United States invading Syria. Not one word. Not a word in the media about who's caused the refugee crises. Oh, and Obama. I have to tell you, that guy Duterte, I think that's the correct pronunciation, the new president of the Philippines, who called Obama an SOB and said, you know, they're a sovereign nation, they're not a vassal of the United States. How dare the United States criticize him and the Philippines on a human rights record? And he's right. Look at the United States human rights record. Oh, we get humans right where it hits them the hardest. Yeah, with bombs. Human rights? No, human deaths. Obama criticizing this guy for human rights? Hey, read our trend alert. Read our trends journals. Hey, Obama, how many did you kill with drones? According to human rights organizations like Relief, over 4,000 innocent people. Hey, but who's counting? He's better than Bush. Well, not when it comes to drones, folks. Folks. It's always folking us, you know, folks. Now, Obama's outdrone Bush, man. Whew, 10 to 1. Just like he's done with them whistleblowers. Remember, folks, he was going to have a transparent government. Yeah. Yeah, he's transparent. You could see right through this fraud. A disgusting human being. I rank him among the lowest of the past lowest. Right down there with Bush and Clintons. Disgusting human beings with bad attitudes and murderous ways. By their deeds you shall know them. And man, oh man. Murder Incorporated. I love when they're always saying, God bless America. What God are you talking about? Oh, your God likes killing people with drones? Well, better than bombs. Well, my God likes bombs. Ah, the hypocrisy. So, that's where we're at. Not back to the economy. Very interesting. As those of you subscribe to the Trends Journal and read our trend alerts, you just saw another fraud happen with the Federal Reserve or the Federal Fraud Reserve. They had that meeting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, a couple of weeks ago. And Fed Chair Janet Yellen came out and was bragging about how wonderful the economy in the United States is doing. It's an old tune. They keep playing it. You know what happens, right? So gold prices are up. Since the beginning of the year, about 28%. But then, in anticipation of the Jackson Hole meeting and the bullish sentiments on Wall Street about the economy and the expectations that they would raise interest rates, gold prices, poof, plummeted. Almost $60. And then Janet Yellen came out. Everybody was waiting to see what Yellen would yell. And she came out and said that in light of the continued solid performance of the labor market and our outlook for economic activity, everything is going to be fine. So the odds were they were going to raise interest rates in September. That was on a Monday. Then on Friday, they released last Friday, the jobs numbers. And they weren't as good as they thought they were. But it worked. Because they did the same thing last June. May and June. The Fed came out almost word for word. Janet Yellen and their fellow Fed members bombarded the business media with the refrain that the American economy was strong and to expect interest rate rise, quote, in the coming months. Huh, that was June. July, August, September. Are those coming months? Or are they going months? Because we haven't had any rate rises. But those little prostitutes, all those little pundits on CNBC and Bloomberg and Fox and ABC and CNN and NPR, let them get away with it. They have an agenda. The agenda is to keep gold prices low. And they keep talking them down. Because the higher gold prices go, the more obvious it is to those who don't know how weak the economies are and how devalued their negative zero and low interest rate dollars, yen, yuan, pounds, rubles, rand, and other currencies are. So they keep talking it down. They keep talking it down. But yet, for a week and a half, the prostitutes in the business media prepped us for the big talk at Jackson Hole. So, the numbers come out for the employment numbers, job creation, lower than expected. And then yesterday, I know you want to know what the Kardashians are doing and what trends we see there, but we'll get to that in a minute. U.S. service firms register slowest growth since 2010. U.S. service companies grew last month at the slowest pace in more than 6 years. The Institute for Supply Management says its service index fell to 51.4 last month from 55.5 in July. The August reading was the lowest since February 2010. Service. That's all America's become, is a service sector society. Because Slick Willie Clinton and the rest of their low lives in the higher offices sold us out with our manufacturing. It's only about 12% of our GDP is manufacturing based now. We're a consumer society. 2/3 of our GDP depends on us spending money. And now the service firms are registering the slowest growth since February of 2010. Yet they let Janet Yellen scream out her BS and nobody calls them out. But boy, when a guy like myself says, you know, this market's going to crash, and he says, well, Salenti, you were wrong. You're right. I was wrong. But why was I wrong? Because tracking trends is an understanding of where we are, how we got here, and where we're going. So when you look at where we were and how we got here, there was no such thing as zero interest rate policy. There was no such thing as negative interest rate policy in the history of the world. There was no such thing as quantitative easing. So, of course, I got it wrong, but I didn't purposely lie because you know that they had the figures before they're talking. In the fascist America, where it's the merger of state and corporate powers and central banks are running the country, which, by the way, is also against the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5. That gives Congress the sole authority to print and regulate the supply of money, but now we turned it over to private banks. So, of course, you well know, as listeners to Progressive Radio Network and Gary Null and all the others that have experts on talking about this as well, that the Federal Reserve is as Federal Express. It's a private bank enriching the banksters. So they know the deal. So they lie outright and get it wrong, but nobody calls them out. Where are the media saying that Janet Yellen lied to the American people and misled them with hype and a hoax and drove down gold prices significantly, only to see just a few days later that the arrogant attitude of these people and the lies and false information they present us with was hype and a hoax? And that, no, Miss Yellen, in light of the continued solid performance of the labor market and our outlook for economic activity, it stinks. You have gross domestic product in the United States rising only 2%, if that, when you look at the manipulations, it's a lot lower, since the whole quantitative easing zero interest rate policy scam began. Goes back, tie it together, let's make it globalnomic. Why is there a populist movement going on around much of the world? It's because the people are tired of getting shafted. But shafted they are, and shafted they will be. Theresa May rejects radical shakeup of immigration rules for EU citizens. Once again, like that guy Tsipras did over there in Greece, after the people voted in a referendum not to continue with the austerity measures, 64% voted against him. He told them he didn't care what they voted for and imposed upon them anyway. Theresa May is also backtracking, it appears, at that G20 meeting from what the people voted for in the UK. And this is from the Financial Times. Yet Ms. Ray's most recent comments leave most of the Brexit campaign's specific promise in tatters. The government does not intend to cut VAT, that's value-added tax on fuel, or spend £350 million extra a week on the NHS. In her comments, Ms. May dismissed an Australian-style model for immigration, on and on. So, it goes on, the UK Prime Minister, speaking at a first G20 summit meeting in China, is considering a more modest reform of immigration rules for US, for EU citizens. They do what they want. It's an elite club that looks down on us. The red carpet says it all. A red carpet. Could you imagine what the founding fathers would say of red carpet treatment? For political clowns, that's all they are. Again, think for yourself. They're clowns. Obama's a two-bit Oprah Winfrey-trained entertainer. Hey, folks, first day in office. You remember? You liberals? Yeah, we're going to close Guantanamo by the end of the year. Now, that was only going on 8 years ago. Ah, but who's counting? Well, he can't close it. He needs congressional approval. Hey, you had the Democrats running the government, both houses, when Obama got elected. Oh, but you forgot that, didn't you? Like you forget all the other things he lied to you about. Oh, yeah, but he still needs congressional approval. He could bomb nations without congressional approval. He could kill hundreds of thousands of people in Libya and Syria and in Iraq and Afghanistan without congressional approval. You think he could close Guantanamo without congressional approval? Of course you don't. Not if you're a liberal. And I love the word progressive liberal. Yeah, progressive. Progressively stupid hypocrites. I should get the word stupid out of it, because liberals are intelligent. That's why they disgust me so much. Because they're intelligent enough to know they've been lied to, but too cowardly to admit it. Where conservatives are too stupid to understand what they believe in is a lot of garbage. Like, we're going to get rid of ISISs and build a wall, rather than looking at the cause. So there we have it. Presidential reality shows in a dead heat. Never in my lifetime have people looked down so low upon two people running for the highest office in the United States. As Obama fades out, he will leave a legacy of lies that most people will never call him out on, and look back at him as someone that did things for the better when he made it much worse, like robbing us of our freedom, just to put things into perspective, with the signing of the National Defense Authorization Act that robs us of habeas corpus rights and allows El Presidente of the Banana Republic, Los Estados Unidos, to kill American citizens anywhere, any place in the world, because he wants to, without no judge, jury, trial, no evidence, nothing other than suspected. And if the emperor suspects it, hey, that's good enough. Good enough for Nero, good enough for Obama. That Trump is running neck and neck with Clinton after all the stuff that this guy has done to destroy his campaign shows you what a crisis this country is in. And the big crisis, of course, beyond the geopolitics, is economics. And as we said, we see it getting worse, not better. There's a very high probability, we believe, of strong volatility in the markets in the weeks and month ahead. October is the month, by the way, when it's not too good for the stock markets. Yeah, you remember October 1987 when the markets collapsed 22% and would have gone down much lower had that plunge protection team not came in and solved it. Plunge protection team, the markets are rigged. So now as we speak, gold is selling at around $1,350 an ounce. Stock market's down a bit, 50 points. Still trading near its high. Things are pretty flat. But the important things to look at are corporate profits. And when you look at the S&P 500 corporate profits over the last five quarters, they're in negative territory. The reason stock market's going up is because companies are borrowing money for free with negative and zero interest rate policies and buying back their stocks, paying out dividends, raising the value of their stocks even as the value of their companies goes down. according to earnings. So, again, think for yourself. We don't give financial advice. Only speaking for myself, I believe that strong volatility will rattle the markets between now and election day. They should call it something else other than election. It's not an election. We're being forced to choose between the Bloods and the Crips. And again, Jill Stein and Johnson on the libertarian end, they're barely registering. And we need another system other than the one we have to bring in more than one party to rule us. So if you have any questions, I'd love to hear from you. You could go to trendsresearch.com. Trendsresearch.com is the contact information. Issues you'd like to talk about, comments that I've made that you may agree or disagree with. I'd like to hear what you have to say. And also, to do your part. If they could do it in Italy, and they could do it in Austria, they could do it in Germany, and they could do it in the Netherlands, we can do it here. Remember, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. Samuel Adams. So tag your it. The future's in your hands. Thank you. And thank you, Progressive Radio, for all that you do. Gary Null and all the people that appear on your network. You're making a difference. And you can too. Thank you. Se te non ha bisciao lo ite va, ite viene sempre pa calare dal manerene. Se ci picchia bande se è pa calare picchia me. Come over here and see who's looking in my window. It's the baker boy, and look, he's got a cannoli in his hand. If you marry the baker boy, he will come and he will go, and he will always mix the flour in the pan. If you marry the baker boy, he'll have the cannoli in his hand. They